Today we have the Lord's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about loving our enemies. And the Lord tells his disciples that they have heard the saying, you can love your enemies but hate your neighbor. And that was a pretty common theme back then, to hate the Samaritans or to hate the Romans. But Jesus says, but I say to you, and Jesus is the Son of God. So here we have the second person of the Blessed Trinity speaking. So the Lord gives us a new commandment. He says, I say to you, not love your enemies, not love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but love your enemies as well and pray for those who persecute you. Now the good news here is that Jesus didn't say you have to like your enemies. Isn't that comforting? He says you have to love them. Well, what is love? Love is desiring the highest and best good for the other person. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, that means you pray for them, you pray for their conversion, their ultimate good, which is their conversion, their repentance, their getting to heaven, ultimately their salvation. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, can we desire the highest and best good? Love here, of course, is not a feeling, not an emotion, because the Lord cannot give us a commandment to have a feeling. But he can command us to make an act of the will. So he can tell us to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to truly love them. You want their conversion. You want their salvation. You don't want them to go to hell. You want them to ultimately go to heaven and be with God. That is true love, to pray for our enemies. If you've seen the movie For Greater Glory, have any of you seen that yet? The new movie about religious freedom? Still in a couple theaters in Northern Virginia. You have to go see that before it leaves. But it's a powerful movie because it's the persecution of the Catholic Church in Mexico in the 1920s. There's many powerful scenes in that movie of how when some of the priests are taken before the firing squad or hanged, they say, God, I forgive you, and may God forgive you as well. So they're very powerful scenes of forgiveness. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. That was one of the themes. Even the little boy, Blessed Jose Del Rio, who was beatified, who is portrayed very well in the movie, again, as he is being martyred for his faith, is also forgiving and praying for the enemies of the church. So again, we have in modern times, even these great examples of people who truly loved their enemies and they prayed for those who persecuted them. And Jesus says, if you do that, you'll be called a child of God. What a great title. You'll be a child of my Heavenly Father. For God loves everyone. God is love. So the sun rises on the bad and the good. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So if God loves each person, then of course we should do as well. Jesus says, if you only love those who loved you, what merit is there in that? See, Catholics have a good theology of merit. Yes, we know we're only saved by the grace of God, but as we respond to God's grace and we do acts of charity and acts of service, we can merit with God's grace greater graces and even a greater place in heaven, Jesus said. So merit is something that's very important for us to understand. Yes, we're only saved by the grace of God. You cannot save yourself. But God gives us grace, and we hopefully accept it generously. And as we correspond to grace, he gives us more grace. And then we can grow in his grace, and we can merit these beautiful things in the next life. Then the Lord concludes by summing it up, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So we're called to holiness, called to perfection. And that word in the New Testament Greek is also translated as be compassionate. Be compassionate as your Heavenly Father is compassionate. So Vatican II says every Catholic is called to holiness and to evangelization. We're all called to perfection. We're called to holiness. And just the thought about St. Romuald, the saint today, he had a great desire for perfection. That's why he left his home and his family and entered the monastery and would establish monasteries all over Italy. He established over 30 monasteries during his life. and encouraging people, encouraging men to seek perfection through prayer and penance. Romuald wasn't always a saint. In the early days, he had a dramatic conversion story. In fact, what happened to him was he came from a very violent family. This was the times of the feuds and the duels, and he witnessed a bloody duel between his father and a relative over a piece of property. And when he saw this man be killed, he was horrified at these blood wars, and he was horrified over this thing of this terrible competition of dueling, and he vowed to live a holy life. And so that's when he entered the monastery and pretty soon gathered other men. And so he's the founder of the Camaldolese monks. So he was able to combine the cenobitic life of Saint Benedict with the hermit's life. And he began a brand new order in the church. So he died in 1027. And when his body was exhumed in 1481, it was found incorrupt. You know, what a powerful story of Saint Romuald, a man who followed Jesus' teaching today to love his enemies, to pray for those who persecuted him. And then he took Jesus seriously when he said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect."